Augustine said something interesting. He said, in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things, love. What he meant by that is there's some things that are essential to Christianity. That Jesus is the only way to heaven, that's an essential to faith. How we're forgiven of our sins, that's an essential to faith. Non-essentials of the faith, what kind of worship music we have, what time service starts, what we wear, all those things are non-essential. But in all things, love.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. As the body of Christ, the church shouldn't walk with anger and hatred, but instead should walk in love and in unity. Find out how this can be done as Pastor David continues in Romans 14 with his teaching, Unity. Here's David McGee.
Romans chapter 14, verse 1. It says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. What do you mean you're weak because you eat vegetables? Is it like protein deficiency? What in the world is he talking about? Let's go over a key. Ask these questions when you're reading a passage. Number one, who's the author? Number two, who is he writing to? Number three, what problems is he trying to address or questions is he trying to answer? So here's how this helps. Now, God is the author of this book. He used men just like you use a pen to write. Okay, so God is the inspired author of this book. And then other books, we say, okay, who's the author of the book of Romans? Well, it's easy because we're told, Paul. Paul wrote the book of Romans. Who's he writing it to? Well, that's another fairly easy one, isn't it? I mean, what's the name of it? Romans. Okay, so I'm thinking it's written to the church at Rome. Taking notes, may want to jot that down. But then the third thing is a little more difficult. What problems is he trying to address or questions is he trying to answer? Now, this sheds some light on this passage. Because in the book of Acts, we went through it, and it's in there, that they were discussing what kind of meats are okay and not okay to eat. Now, this is kind of a complicated, but not so much. There was Levitical laws about what you should eat in the Hebrew Scriptures. There's no dietary restrictions in the New Testament. We're free to eat what we want, but some people wanted to keep kosher. Okay, fine. But they wanted to make all the Gentiles not only eat kosher, but see, in Jerusalem, sometimes they would sacrifice animals to pagan deities and stuff, and then they would sell the meat in the market. And they said, well, you shouldn't be eating that meat. In Jerusalem, they said, okay, probably shouldn't be eating that meat. There's a lot of other meat to buy. Rome was a different story altogether. Because all the temples, all the pagan deities, the majority of the meat there had been sacrificed to idols. So there was only a little bit of meat that was available that had been, you know, a lot of it being kosher. And they said, well, you can only eat this kind of meat. And some people said, no, I'm gonna eat this meat. It's not a big deal. I'm not worshiping this idol when I eat the meat. And some people said, this is too complicated. I'm just gonna eat vegetables. I don't even wanna be bothered by this. The Living Bible gives a kind of an interesting insight into this verse. It's not a usual study tool of mine, but I came across it. It says, for instance, don't argue with him about whether or not to eat meat that has been offered to idols. You may believe there's no harm in this, but the faith of others is weaker. They may think it is wrong and will go without any meat at all and eat vegetables rather than that kind of meat. You stir into this that the Essenes were also a presence in Rome. Essenes were in Qumran, where we found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they were pretty hardcore. They were pretty set. This is the way it's got to be. And so you mix them in the room. So you already got kind of three denominations over what to eat. The people say, well, we're just not going to eat meat at all. The people say, we're going to eat only kosher. And then the other group says, well, we're going to eat anything that's not moving. So, you know, you got these three denominations there in Rome already. Okay, but Paul's saying, you know, it's not worth arguing about. The New Living Translation of this, for instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer who has a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. I've been in places in ministry that, you know, would probably offend some people. You know, I've been to Sturgis and ministered there, and pretty crazy place during bike week when I was there to tell people about Jesus. Now, for some, they might not want to do that. I felt called to go do that. And also in traveling, we had a couple that traveled with us as I traveled around to teach in music. And Laughlin, right on the border of Nevada, and also Las Vegas, we'd go minister, do street ministry, do work with churches and stuff. And it used to be that the casinos offered really cheap food. I mean, like $5, you could go in there and like they carve and roast beef and stuff. I had a family of five. It kind of made sense to me. Now, I've never struggled with compulsive gambling. So I'd go in there and feed the family. Well, the people that were traveling with us were like, I can't go in there. They're gambling. So, well, don't go in. I'm going in. I'm going to worship God eating that roast beef, brother. So, you know, if you don't want to get, don't go in. But they kind of judged me for going in there. And I mentioned casinos because that probably is a tripping point for somebody. He went to a casino. The meat you eat at home is what, sacrificed to the idol of corporate profits or something. I mean, everything's unclean in some way. What's interesting is we were traveling and they came in and my daughter was playing with a Barbie and they were like, she's got a Barbie. It's like, yeah, she shouldn't play with Barbies. I'm just grateful the boys aren't playing with them. I mean, I'm just, you know, and Barbie's not a big deal, you know. But, you know, they started going, well, that's conforming to the image of the world, and it's a Barbie, and that's thinking women are supposed to do. And it's like, okay, well, then don't get a Barbie. You're adults. You probably shouldn't be playing with Barbies anyway. But, that's my little girl. She's playing with a Barbie. No big deal. Now, here's what's bizarre. We're in a hotel somewhere, and I walk into the room, and they're watching Baywatch. And they go, it's our favorite TV show. And I'm like, Barbie, Pamela Anderson, bye. Now, I don't watch Baywatch. I've never been a fan of Baywatch, you know. That's a whole nother discussion. But the point is, see, it's like, well, that's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because I don't do it. And this is right. Well, how you know it's right? Because I do it. Each one of us falls in that trap. Your musical preferences. Well, that's good music. If you like Southern Gospel Quartet, that's the most godly form of music. And you just kind of put up with our worship. I like Southern Gospel Quartet, but all, you know, God is a creative God. He gave us music to express ourselves to Him. I mean, the music the kids listen to now, I feel like my dad, man, because I'm listening to it, I go, he's just hollering and screaming. What did he say? You know, and it's, I still remember my dad saying the exact same thing. But there's personal convictions. Now, here's the thing. While we're standing around arguing, you know what's happening? The enemy's laughing. And people are dying. And that's not okay. And Jesus is weeping. While we argue about stuff that really doesn't matter. This whole clean, unclean thing. You know what? Here's what God said to Peter, Acts 10:15. And a voice spoke to him again saying, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. What God has called clean, you don't call unclean. Each of us needs to search the scripture and talk to God and see what he has to say.
You've been listening to Cross the Bridge. We'll return to David's study in Romans in just a moment. But first, I would like to let you know about a new product that we're excited about here at Cross the Bridge. Each year, David McGee spends countless hours combing through the Bible in preparation to teach God's Word. This is clearly seen every week as he proclaims the amazing truths found in the Bible to his home church and through the radio ministry. That's why this month we want you to be blessed by some of our favorite teachings from this year with the Cross the Bridge Best of 2013. These three powerful teachings will help you to live victoriously in Christ through a better understanding of who Jesus really is. The Best of 2013 is our gift to you this month when you give to Cross the Bridge. Your gift will be used to reach countless people with the gospel, while also encouraging other believers to stand firm in the faith. To help us take God's Word to the world, please contact us at 877-458-5508 or visit us online at crossthebridge.com.
Friend, do you have a heart for the lost? I invite you to send us the first names of your lost loved ones, and we will have hundreds of people praying for them. Just go to crossthebridge.com and click on the prayer button, and you'll enter their name. And if you put your name and email address in there, I'll send you free resources to equip you to pray and teach you how to reach your lost loved ones. Please, don't wait. This is so important. So please, again, go to crossthebridge.com and click on the prayer button and send us the first names of lost loved ones. We'll send you some free information, and together we can partner to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole world, the whole book, for the whole world.
Now let's return to David McGee's verse-by-verse teaching in the book of Romans.
Look at verse 3. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. So again, you know, if somebody wants to eat kosher, great. If they don't want to eat kosher, that's okay. If you eat healthy, you know what you think? Everybody else should eat healthy. You know, if you see somebody eating a Big Mac, oh, you sinner. Don't you know that's the temple of God you're putting that in? If you don't eat healthy, you look at people that eat healthy and you're like, oh, what is up with that, man? You know, I drink this green stuff. It's barley, grass, ground up. You get used to it. It's kind of, but it's, you know, I drink it. And you know, I was working for the Harvest Crusades. One of the guys came in and he goes, what in the world is that, man? And he started calling it Billy Bob Swamp Water. But the, why? Because he doesn't eat healthy. He couldn't figure out why I'd drink something like that. But see, the moment we begin to judge, and here's, and I, you know what? I'm gonna hit some trigger points. Most of us are going to go kosher, and I'm cool, whatever. You know, let's hit a couple. Because a few years ago, mixed bathing was a big issue, you know. And I'm talking about sex is swimming together. Because somebody mixed bathing, that's just wrong, brother. When people swimming together, Christians usually say men and women cannot swim together. Men need to swim in one location. Women need to swim in another location. And some people feel like they shouldn't go to the beach. Fine, don't go to the beach. But the moment you start saying, well, you should never be out at the beach, time out, partner. I mean, we were down in South Miami Beach. Now, I told the people before they went down there, I said, yeah, this is a different kind of beach. You need to be careful. Don't go out there alone. And some of you probably shouldn't go at all. But we were out there witnessing and handing out invitations of people to come to our Cross the Bridge event. For somebody to go, well, you're not supposed to go to the beach. I'm sorry, there's people out there. People that need Jesus. So if you don't want to, if you think men and women should swim separately, if you're a man, don't swim with women. If you're a woman, don't swim with men. That's okay. Just don't tell me I'm in sin if I do that. Here's smoking. I don't smoke anymore. Anything. But I know people who smoke, and I love them. And they know God, and they love God. Now, if they come up to me and say, I feel like I should quit smoking, I would probably say, that's probably a good idea, you know, because it's probably hurting you, and it's not a good thing. But unless they are asking me, I'm probably not going to volunteer that information. Watching sports, watching racing, I don't do it. It's the time thing for me. But I'm not going to sit in here and say, well, everybody that watches a race or watches sports is bad or evil. I mean, I don't do it. It'd be easy for, it's a waste of time. Well, I don't know. Yeah, you know, there's things that you would look at in my life and think you're wasting your time, you know? I watch movies. Some people think you should never watch a movie. Well, then don't watch a movie. I happen to like watching movies. Some people, that's a waste of time. Yeah, I grow a garden. They sell that stuff at the store. Maybe you think that's a waste of time, but you know, I'm kind of into it and I like doing it, and there's so many tie-ins with Obama. The important thing is don't be judging each other. And now we're going to talk next week about what is judgment and what is discernment. And there is a difference. And we need to be discerning, but not condemning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So don't let somebody say, well, you need to eat Levitically or not eat Levitically or whatever. Don't, you know, and it says in drink. So we're going to get to more of that next week. But I'll go ahead. You know, if somebody wants to debate or discuss whether they can drink a beer or a glass of wine with dinner, yeah, we can have that discussion. But you know what I found? That most people that want to argue about that, they want to drink more than just a beer. They want somehow to think that it's okay to go home and bang down a 12-pack. And the Bible's real clear on drunkenness, that it's not good. Verse 4 says, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be to he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. In verse 5, one person esteems one day over above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. So we see quickly what Paul's trying to deal with, and he's trying to address these questions and also the fact that they're fighting over these issues. Apparently, they'd begin to discuss whether they should worship on the Shabbat, the Jewish day from the sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, or if they should be worshiping on Sunday. People are still discussing this. And, you know, there was a group that says, well, you know, it's supposed to be on Saturday. And, you know, for a while, they were, like, really hardcore. They would say, you know, if you worship on Sunday, you're going to hell. You're really worshiping the Antichrist and all this weirdness. Every day is supposed to be, I know we call Sunday the Lord's Day. Really, isn't every day God's day? But we love to argue, what day do you worship? That's just a weird discussion. When we start at church, the midweek start on Thursday. I just prayed about it. I thought that'd be kind of cool, kind of different, you know? Had somebody call, suspicious, maybe a bit paranoid. Why do you have church on Thursday? Church is supposed to be on Wednesday. I thought to myself, just so you would call. I didn't say that. I just said, I don't know. We prayed about it. Bible doesn't say anything about not having church on Thursday, Wednesday. So one thing that's really cool, because we have church on Thursday, we have people that come from other churches that come to church here on Thursday, and they tell us and tell me, I come here to get fed the Word of God, and I go back to my church to serve. Now, part of me thinks, well, you should be getting fed there, but, you know, I'm glad you're getting fed here so you can go pour out there. But Wednesday, Thursday, even the Sunday, Augustine said something interesting. He said, in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things love. What he meant by that is there's some things that are essential to Christianity. That Jesus is the only way to heaven, that's an essential to faith. How we're forgiven of our sins, that's an essential to the faith. Non-essentials of the faith, what kind of worship music we have, what time service starts, what time music service ends, what we wear, all those things are non-essential. But in all things, love. And oftentimes when we begin to tell each other how to do these things, we begin to not walk in love. The question of what Paul is dealing with here, Paul is really dealing with division. People saying, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, we should worship this day, we should worship that day. Incidentally, worshiping God on Sunday did not begin under Constantine. Now, there's some people that say that, Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code, other people, that's just wrong. Tertullian, who lived from 160 to 220 AD, was already talking about worshiping on Sunday. And then also, there's a couple of scriptures, I'll probably get to them next week, but talk in the Bible about the first day of the week, which was Sunday. When they got together and worshiped. But they're wanting to argue. They're wanting to sit around and argue. Now, this isn't just Rome. When I started digging on this, praying through this, we go from Rome to 1st and 2nd Corinthians to Galatians to Ephesians to Philippians to Colossians. Those were churches that Paul was writing letters to. You know what I found? Every single church, he was writing things about unity and not being divided. Every one of them. That's how I know it's an issue here. Why? Because there's people here. The moment somebody else showed up, we were going to have differences of opinion about how certain things can go. But we have to love each other through that. Why? Because when it begins to break down, we lose something that's very, very special. Galatians, Paul writes this to the church at Galatia. For you, brothers, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Same passage in the New Living Translation. For you have been called in love to freedom. Not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if instead of showing love among yourselves, you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. The world watches us do what we do as Christians. And it doesn't appeal to them. We sit there and we argue. Doesn't appeal to them at all. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment." Well, if you have a difference of opinion and I have a difference of opinion, how do we get along? We love each other more than our personal preferences and our opinions. Now, some of you are going, "Well, that's hard for me." That's hard for everybody. We all want things this way. We all have our favorite dish at our favorite restaurant. And, you know, man, if there's a different waitress or a different chef or just, "Oh, it's not like it was." You know, I mean, that's the way we are. That's the old life. We got to let go of that. When we're willing to lower our personal preferences and love one another, you know what happens? God shows up big and things happen. But if we stand around and we just bicker about stuff that doesn't matter, we're just going to spin our wheels. God's usually not going to do something in that atmosphere. He's almost never going to do something in that atmosphere. Acts chapter 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, what does that mean? It means they all had one Honda car. They were in a Honda Accord. So now we know what to drive. They were all shoving themselves into that baby. No, they were in one place of one mindset. There was unity there. And in that unity, look at verse, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." God showed up big. They were in unity. Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The life lesson here, we should walk in love and unity with one another. We should walk in love and unity with one another. Gang, I'm not going to agree with you about everything. You're not going to agree with me about everything. I'm okay with that. You need to be okay with that. Some of you have traveled to church, to church, to church, to church, trying to get everything just the way you like it. Friend, it's not going to happen. And in the meantime, you're going to get ripped off and you're going to miss out on a blessing. You go to a church where you can agree on 80% of the stuff. The other 20% just love each other through. We have our preferences. That's okay. You want to eat kosher? Eat kosher. You don't want to eat kosher? Don't eat kosher. You want to eat healthy? Great. You don't want to eat healthy? I'm all right with that. I'm not going to condemn you. I'll love you through it. You love me through it. God will be honored and he'll show up big. But gang, unity cannot happen while we're clinging to our individual differences and our personal preferences. We have to let them go. I have to let them go. You have to let them go. Because as people see that, I'm telling you, they are drawn to that. Instead of us sitting around arguing, we can love one another. You know, if you're sitting here today, and maybe you've seen Christians do exactly what I'm talking about. Sit around and argue, and you're like, I'm not going to do that. Maybe it's turned you away from Jesus. On behalf of the church and whoever you were watching do that, I'm sorry. But focus on what's important. Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. When I say that, what I mean is Jesus on the cross was being punished for your wrongdoing so that you could be forgiven. And you have to deal with that. That is an essential. How do you deal with that? Well, you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and he does. And he wants to do it right now. I'm not talking about some religious ceremony or some ritual. I'm saying right now, Jesus wants to forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. And if you'll come to him and tell him you're sorry, he'll do that. And then he'll give you the power to begin to live for him. He'll do that.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If this was your first time praying that prayer with Pastor David, we would love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free at 877-458-5508 to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Also, if you contact us this month, we will send you the Cross the Bridge Best of 2013 for your gift of any amount. If you've ever wondered how we can walk in the full power of God's Spirit, then this new product is just for you, and we'll send it to you as a way of saying thanks for your donation. You can give any time by calling us toll-free at 877-458-5508. That's 877-458-5508. Or go online to crossthebridge.com.
Did you know one of the keys to spiritual growth is to daily be in the Word of God? I want to help you to do that. You see, I send out an email every day with a scripture passage, a life lesson, a directed prayer, and some encouraging thoughts. All you need to do is go to crossthebridge.com and sign up for our absolutely free devotional. And also, you'll receive prayer support. You let us know if you have a prayer need, and you'll get specially discounted offers. God and His Word promises that His Word always produces fruit. Always. So let's get started. Go to crossthebridge.com and sign up for our devotional. You'll be glad you did.
Thank you for listening, and I pray you'll join us next time as we cross the bridge.